And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Leaf Report. This is Clark here. Hello, everybody.
James, it is a big show. It is a big show because we're like knee deep in the off season. We've had the expansion draft. We've got the real draft. We have free agency coming up. How are you doing? Are you excited for everything?
I'm good. I would say we're probably like elbow deep, or like we're past the knees now at this point with everything going on.
Are you like when you go in the water, like let's say at a lake, are you jump in kind of person or are you like walk in slowly, get adjusted?
I was just at the lake on the weekend, which left you having to cover the fallout from what was going on last weekend. I'd like to be a jump in person, but it's just realistically, that's just not the way that it works. I really like the paddle boards and like the cottage I was at. They had like a bunch of these windsurf boards without the sail connected, and you could just like... I like getting on those with like a paddle and going out in the middle of the lake and like bring a beer with you. And that's the way to do it for me.
Right. I like that. I'm up for all that. So we're not here to talk about our summer.
What?
Exploits.
Oh, that's obviously my whole list of every topics is all just what I did on my 3-day vacation.
Delete. So we're going to talk obviously about Zach Hyman. We've talked a lot about it, but we're getting into the real meat of the issue right now. But I think we'll start and we'll talk about free agency because that's coming up very soon. And you and I have written extensively on free agency. But let's start with expansion. Obviously, the Leafs trade for Jared McCann, and then Jared McCann is the guy that they lose to Seattle. There is a lot more... I don't know if anger is the right word, frustration, but there's a lot more skepticism, clearly, of what the Leafs are doing. To me, this kind of seems like I don't see anything wrong with it at all. Like, I understand the logic. I think it makes sense. What about you? Like, you wrote about it after the fact. Where do you stand on some of the frustration that we're kind of seeing with the fan base?
I kind of think, honestly, Jonas, and this is a cop-out answer, that that both positions are defensible in this situation. And I understand why the Leafs did what they did, and I understand what the thing for me, Jonas, is I want to see what they do next here, because if they have a plan to fill out their forward group that is going to make them stronger and that it makes sense, and the team's going to be really set up well for success next year, then I have a harder time criticizing them for what happened with McCann. And you know, Kyle Dubas said on his availability today, they didn't feel really confident or comfortable in what kind of a plan they could come up with to find another right defenseman for their second pair who made $2 million. And so while some fans are down on Justin Hall, and I understand it, he did not have a great finish to the season. And Jake Muzzin's obviously a huge part of that pairing. All that said, you look at I think that they potentially could be right in that it'll be easier to replace a player like McCann than to replace a player like Hall, if that makes any sense. You look at what Oleksiak and Larson and the defensemen that are going to get new contracts are signing for. It's going to be substantial. And there are going to be a lot of overpays on defense here in the next week or two. And I think the bottom line too, Jonas, is the Leafs do not feel comfortable with Travis Dermott being in their top four. Like if they did, then I think they would have been much more open to protecting more forwards.
There's a lot to get into there. I think the free agency stuff is most important when it comes to defense. It wouldn't happen. Like you couldn't get a top four guy for $2 million. You won't. Like you can get someone.
Or $3 million or $3.5 million.
Or $3 million. I really like Alec Martinez. Like Alec Martinez would be a perfect fit for them. He's played with Jake Muzzin. Like he can play the right. He's a left shot. He fits exactly what they need. He's better than Justin Hall. He's going to cost $4.5-$5 million on a 3 or 4 year deal.
How old's Martinez now?
He's 34? Like 33.
He's up there.
34. So like, I think that makes sense. I also wonder, James, and we should talk about Dermott. Do you want McCann and Kerfoot? Like that would obviously be the other way to go here is you protect both those guys. I don't know that you need both. I kind of think you need something better than those guys in addition to one of those guys.
I wonder if they went into the expansion draft, Jonas, thinking that there was a chance they were still that Seattle was going to take Kerfoot and that was their favorite outcome.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a way to ensure that was going to, maybe they went in there like, well, you know, it's probably 75% chance we lose McCann, 25% chance we lose Kerfoot. Let's do it like this. Let's hope we lose Kerfoot. And then, there were teams look at Tampa lost Yanni Gourde. A number of the best teams in the league lost pretty good players in the expansion process. So,
and this costs nothing, James, with all due respect to Hollander, it's a B prospect, C pro, whatever. I just don't understand why doing this wasn't the right move.
Here's what I'll say is two things. McCann could well be a really good player. It's possible that
maybe.
I think it's undetermined right now what he is. I think some of the analytical profiles that are out there are kind of projecting, based on how good of a year he had last season, that he's going to be something special. And I think that if that turns out to be the case, then this could be the wrong move. You know, if he turns out to be,
but you can't make decisions like that.
You have to. I mean, being an NHL GM is all about projecting and
understood. But James, so to do that, so what you would have to do is then you'd lose Hall, and then how do you replace Hall?
Well, you would make the bet that McCann's upside is so significant that it outweighs whatever downside you're adding on defense, and you would fill that gap however you could. I mean, maybe you'd need to make a trade. Like maybe you feel so good about McCann that you're flush up front and you can move someone to for help on defense. I think it would up the degree of difficulty for their offseason for sure. But if McCann goes to Seattle and emerges as a star, then that's a problem. And I think that some in the fan base believe that that's the case, that he's going to be a really, really special player. And I think that I think the anger comes from a couple of places. Some of it comes from analytics. Some of it comes from people think have wanted McCann for a while. Like he's been someone that's been talked about. Like I remember when Florida acquired him and he was, you know, the analytics community has been trumpeting him for a long time. But it also comes from, Jonas, from a very natural place that this team has not earned the benefit of the doubt.
That's what it speaks to me.
It's part of it for sure.
I think that is it to me.
There's a lot of fans that don't believe anymore that they're off the bandwagon, the Kyle Dubas and this management team bandwagon. And with what has happened the last few years, I don't blame them. I mean, I think a fan looking at this and us looking at this is in a lot of cases, or in some cases, I mean, it depends on the fan. Like, I don't think you can.
I don't think they're wrong to question. Like,
yeah.
I just don't, as someone who's not a fan, and you and I are not fans, like, it's hard to look at this and say they did the wrong thing. Like, the other choice doesn't seem super palatable. And then the other choice is just do nothing and just lose Kerfoot. And then have to replace Kerfoot. So now you don't have to replace Kerfoot. And maybe you still replace Kerfoot. Like, maybe he gets traded. I don't know.
I want to see, it's 6 days till free agency. What I would say is, you know, people, the story I wrote about the McCann controversy is on the site now. Subscribe today, theathletic.com/LeafReport. I don't want to bury the front office if over the next 6 days, they are going to address their gaps at forward very, very well through other methods, if that was their intention with what they did here.
That's fair.
Like, the picture is incomplete, but if we get to July 29th or 20 or 30th or whatever, and the roster doesn't look very good, and it's still got big holes in it, and it's clear that they weren't able to address them. That's a big problem. And I think that's a more appropriate time to criticize their offseason than looking at this in a vacuum, this one move.
Well, and it kind of feels like, as much as I kind of think we've gotten to the point now where Justin Hall has become like a little underrated. Like, it's like, man, it's gone so far the other way, it seems. And maybe Jared McCann is now overrated. Like, you're skating over a lot of things if you're just like, you're not looking at any of the potential flaws. Like, it's a very big question as to whether he's a center. It's like the same kind of thing with Kerfoot. Like, they went out and traded for Jeff Carter to play center, and he fared really well playing with Jeff Carter. He also fared really well on their power play. He scored on 33% of his shots on the power play playing with Sidney Crosby.
The Penguins, I don't think, were that devastated to lose McCann.
Well, or they would have protected him, right?
They could have. I don't have their protected list in front of me. Do you know the forwards they protected?
No, keep talking. I'll find it.
I talked to some people around the league. I can't say who. But you know, people, smart people that I respect.
Yep.
And they said that, you know, McCann's reputation is not great, and Hall, he is a little bit underrated. And, like, you know, a lot of coaches around the league have watched what Hall has done, and they're like, yeah, you know, he's got some tools there that they like, and that he's big, he can skate well. So the other thing too is, you can't underrate how hard it is to find right shot defensemen. You know, Kyle yep. Dubas said it today. Like, we've spent all of this time trying to get our blue line to the point where we felt good about it. They spent years trying to get it to where they felt good about it. They finally got there last year, and they're really worried if they take a step back, they're not going to be able to get back to where they were.
Well, and that's one thing I think if you, and I know I understand the criticism, and I, you know, feel part of that criticism, like bringing everything back. Like, I wrote and believe like that. I think they should have explored their core and whether like they should stick with that. But like, there is something to be said for now you've got a group that's kind of played together for a while. That will be, next season will be the third with Muzzin and Hall presumably as a pairing. Like, maybe they split up. Like, maybe you go Muzzin Brody. But they do have something with that pairing. And like, Justin Hall is still really young in the league. I still think he's figuring things out. Like, I know he's 29, but again, it's price. So anyway,
There's going to be news happening while we're recording this. So we'll try and throw some in. Mike Smith signs a 2-year deal for $2.2 million a season with Edmonton.
Oh, baby. All right. Penguins protected list, James. Teddy Bluger, Jeff Carter. I guess he had to be protected. Would he have had a no movement clause?
I don't know. He's moved around a lot for a guy with a no. I don't think he does have a no movement clause. He's been traded a couple times on that contract.
Crosby, Gensel, our old friend Kasperi Kapanen, Malkin, and Brian Rust.
Yeah, so there you go. That gives you some indication of where they didn't think McCann was one of their best seven forwards.
Well, they thought Kapanen is more valuable to them. And obviously, I think he signed an extra year, maybe? Man, I can't remember his contract anymore. Anyway.
I believe so, yeah. I believe he had a 3-year deal that played 1 year for the Leafs and then 1 year for the Penguins, and I believe he has one more, right?
Yes. So to wrap up like the McCann conversation, like I get the skepticism. I just find this one difficult to kind of accept.
I have no problem with the fan base being angry with Kyle Dubas and the front office and where the team is at. I have no problem with that. But, you know, I got asked by one of our readers the other day, you know, why were you so critical of Brian Burke and reluctant to criticize Kyle Dubas? And to me, the situations are not the same. You know, the total catastrophic failure of what was happening with Brian Burke when he was GM of the Leafs is not the same as what's happened here. It's not the same thing.
No.
This front office has made a lot of good moves and the roster has made progress. And has it gotten to where it needs to be or accomplished what it should? No. But it's not what Brian Burke did.
Well, because a lot of these moves with this front office, like you can understand the logic behind them. A lot of the Burke and the Nonis stuff, like it was hard to see the, what's the word? It's hard to wrap your head around some of the stuff that they did. Like it's hard to explain signing David Clarkson for 7 years in that contract. Like it just is. Like it's hard to Lou Lamoriello. Like it's hard to wrap your head around giving Nikita Zaitsev a 7 year contract. Like, you know what I mean? Like some of those things, like it's harder to see what they're thinking or why they're thinking in that way. And with a lot of these moves, like you can understand. And some we have been critical of. Like I didn't love the Foligno trade. I advocated them getting Taylor Hall. Like they're not perfect and they're not going to be perfect, but so much of this is like, and this is the difficult part of our job, is so much of like sports is just like a bounce here, bounce there. Like if they score one of those overtime goals, who knows what happens and they go on and I don't know, maybe they're in the Final Four and we're not talking about this. And that's not the way it works. Like that's sports. Like it's unfair.
You know, Brian Burke's tenure with the Leafs as GM, and not to pick on Brian, who I like and who did a really nice job with Vancouver and Anaheim and some of the other spots he's been. But like, you know, his tenure with the Leafs was an F. And Kyle Dubas's tenure as GM of the Leafs is not an F. It's just, is not, you know, it's not an A, that's for sure. It's probably not a B. I think, you know, our goal is just to try and be fair and to look at it from their perspective and the options that are available to them and what they do. And this is an incomplete picture right now. Their offseason, like I said, I still want to see the next 6 or 7 days and what they do. And if they make a mess of the next 6 or 7 days, then I'm sure the fan base is only going to be angrier. And I'm sure our coverage will only be more critical. But I don't know if that's a good enough segue, Jonas, to like the next things we want to talk about. But, you know, it's kind of, there's a lot going on. And I think that lot going on, I think people should keep their eyes on how important that is going to be here in order for them to fix the roster from where it's at right now.
Well, and I would add to that, and let me just like stress, like I don't think fans are like, you can be upset, like, and you're not wrong. Like it's, you can have an opinion. Like it's, there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Like I just, it makes sense to me. And the other thing I was going to add is even the roster that goes into training camp is not the final roster. And that's something we always forget. They're always going to change the team. Like if something doesn't work, they'll try to address it in season. Like
yeah,
we forget that all the time. The trade deadline is part of this. Like whatever their roster is not necessarily their roster in game one.
So I think that the trade deadline could be if they decide the D isn't where they want it to be, that could be what they decide to upgrade. Just because those players are so expensive. Contract wise and everything, if you can acquire someone where you only have to absorb a quarter or an eighth of their contract, like they did with Foligno, then maybe it makes sense to add a D then. Or if the second goal turn needer, I've been thinking a lot about their cap situation and ways they could create more space. Maybe you take a little bit of a gamble on that second goaltender, and then if it doesn't work out, you upgrade that position midseason.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I mean, there's going to have to be some give somewhere. Like maybe up front they take a bunch of bets on guys who are making $1 million or $1.5 million.
They tried that last year. It's really hard.
They got to nail some of those.
Yeah. Well, so let's get into that.
Segue.
There's your segue.
There's your segue.
Well, it's sort of a segue. the Zach Hyman situation appears to be wrapping up as we expected. Edmonton looks like the place they'll end up. It's a big contract. By the time you're listening to this, it may be a bigger contract. It might be a sign and trade. It might be an 8-year contract. If that's the contract he's getting, like you can't, there's nothing you can do. Like, you can't sign that kind of contract. And you could go back to last summer and say, well, they should have extended him and maybe they could have gotten to a reasonable deal. But even that is like riddled with some questions as to whether that's what you should do. So I don't know. How do you feel about this coming to an end?
I think they could have signed him last summer to a really long-term contract for probably something, I don't know, four something, between 4 and 4.5. So if you feel like that's the right move, then they probably should have pursued that. I think the front office was nervous with how the flat cap and everything that was happening and where their cap situation was at and of committing to that ahead of time. That's my read on the situation.
Well, I want to say, like, last summer you and I debated this in a story and I was like, yeah, they should absolutely do that. And then you think about it and you see things play out, and I just think this is the kind of guy you have to let go. Like, it's a reality of the cap and the way that they've chosen to design their team that, like,
Well, it's a way different equation if he's making $5 million long term as opposed to four, right? Like, I mean, I was writing,
it's not a way different equation.
I was
it's
writing
different.
That they should give him like a 7-year deal at 3.8 or something like that, and that seemed reasonable a year ago. And then, like, we're in a completely different stratosphere now where he's going to get 5-something from the Oilers for 8 years. It sounds like
players like that that you really like, and that's a big part of this. And I think that's where you get into trouble is, like, you really like the guy, like. You like what he brings to your team. You like the way he works. You like the part he plays in your culture. But, like, he is, I mean, everyone knows, like, he's 29. He's had some injuries. He plays like a very hard style and it might not age well. Like, I kind of feel bad for him in a way, James. And obviously he's going to get an amazing contract and he is nothing to feel bad for. But, like, it's a really tough position to be in. Like, if a team is offering you this much money, this much more money then the team you probably want to stay with, your home, what do you do? Like, do you say no to all that extra money? Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really tough spot because, like, it's almost bound to not go great because he's getting a contract that's going to be really hard for him to justify. And his style just might not be conducive to aging well. Like, I feel for him that way because I don't know what I'd do.
Well, you could end up in a situation where a team doesn't want you and they want to put you on long-term injured reserve or they, you know, like we've seen a lot of players. I don't know. I mean, the thing that Jonas is like, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like, it's just,
oh yeah, he'll be fine.
Like but from their perspective, you know, and I think the agents do a good job of saying this to their clients, like, here's the amount of money that, like, it's almost a hard, I think, for us and for, you know, average people to comprehend how much money it is. Like, if you leave $4 million or $5 million on the table, like, that's money that you can pass down to your kids and grandkids. And, you know, it's, anyway, I do think, though, I'm not saying this with Hyman specifically, but I do think more guys should take less if they're in a situation where they're happy and comfortable, because
The grass
is not always greener.
That's the thing. So you end up making more money, but then, like, your life just isn't as happy. Maybe, like, I hope for his sake, like, he goes there, he loves it, puts up a lot of points, and he has a great career. But it just historically hasn't turned out that way. And the lure of money kind of stuff. Like,
well, I mean, you look at what else is happening with Edmonton's offseason, and they really look like an organization that, I mean, you talk about. It's a mess. I mean, like, if we were covering that team, we would be, the coverage would be a lot different. You know, that's a situation where they're being mismanaged. And
that's the other part of this, James, yeah. Like, now you're joining that team that, yeah, like, it's like, you're looking at them and he's a smart dude. It's like,
well, you have to, like, that's a thing. You need to go into that with eyes wide open and just, like, you know, if I was talking to Zach, I'd be like, are you sure? Because it's going to be awfully hard for you guys to win if they continue to make as many mistakes as they're making.
Well, and they seem to, I don't want to paint this market with a brush, but like they seem to blame the players more than they blame management. Like the amount of shit that, that Connor McDavid and Draisaitl took after that two seasons ago, it's like, yeah. I think there are bigger problems than that. But anyway, you and I looked into the free agent forwards, and that will be a big part of this in letting Zach Hyman go for the Leafs and replacing him. There are options out there. There are not a lot of options for the top six is kind of what we discovered.
No, we came up with 11 names. Some of them are not super realistic.
Like Landeskog is not as unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
That's one we can cross off. Taylor Hall, we can cross off now.
Yeah, he's gonna sign in Boston. Or
Hyman, we can cross off. So what's that now?
We're down to eight. 11 minus three is eight.
Oh, boy.
There are others like Dano, who is probably unrealistic. I don't think Krejci is realistic. So now we're down to six.
Thank you.
So who do we have left? Who should we talk about?
I have the list in front of
Schwartz
me.
Schwartz was one we really liked.
Let's
talk about him after, but what's the rest of the list?
Okay, Schwartz, Palmieri.
Yep.
We can include those guys.
I don't think Palmieri's going to come to Toronto. I don't think that.
I don't either.
I don't think that interests him. Tatar would be a big gamble given.
Right. Granlund, your boy.
I think Granlund would make sense, but I think Granlund's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, Mike Hoffman, and Brandon Saad. And if you're not playing Zach Hyman, you're probably not playing Brandon Saad. Ooh,
I think there's only one guy I like there. I mean, two. I think Dano would be okay if you can.
But Dano's going to cost four and a half to five on a long term deal, right?
If he'll do four and a half and not super long term, but he's probably going to get more than that in the open market. The tough thing for the Leafs, Jonas, is that you look at there are a bunch of teams that have lots of cap space, and if you're like a if you're a guy who's willing to go anywhere to get the most money, which some of those names that we listed are, I'm not saying to know. Some of those names are. I'm not going to say who, but I know for a fact that some of the guys on that list are just going to be like, yeah, sure, I'll go to name
Team X.
Name Team Crap X that has tons of cap space. They're going to go get $5.5 or $6 million. Like the Leafs can't play in that market. Like they can't get into those bidding wars. Let me ask you this, Jonas, if they strike out on all of those guys, all of those, that top 11 list that we had, like they've already struck out on a bunch of them. We agree that a bunch of them are not really great fits. Can they make their forward group where it needs to get to without Zach Hyman just digging through the pile of other forward? We had two lists. We had a list of top six forwards, and then we had a list of like third line forwards, basically third and fourth line forwards. Is there enough there on that list of third and fourth line forwards that they can get to where they need to get?
I think there can be. Like, I think if you get like three of those kind of middle six types and you plug them in around your stars and you plug them in on your third line, I think it can be enough. Like I do. Honestly, like you're paying those guys a lot of money. Like they need I'm talking about the four guys. They just need to be able to carry whoever's with them. Like you should be able to put decent winger X next to Matthews and Marner or Nylander and Tavares, and the line should be pretty good. It just should. Like, or those guys aren't as good as you think, right? Like, I mean, we saw last year they put Galchenyuk with Tavares and Nylander, and he helped. Like it's partly about Galchenyuk, but like Galchenyuk was like almost out of the league. You know what I mean? So, like, I kind of feel like you should be able to scrounge together.
And we saw the limitations of the Galchenyuk route in the playoffs. I mean, like that.
Yep. But James, let me ask you this: like, so if you get one of these third line centers and you get a couple of the wingers, like you get a Bunting and you get a McGinn, or
who's the third line center? Like you get Bonino or Stastny or
And so like you plug those guys around your core guys and your third line. I still think you can compose a lineup that's still pretty good. Like the thing is like that Matthews line is going to be good no matter what. Like Zach Hyman's on it or not, the line is going to be good.
The answer to this is the forward group better than last season if you do that? Like if you add Bunting, McGinn, and Nick Bonino.
I think it can be. I mean, I mean, it's not like last season's forward group. I know they scored a lot of goals. But it's not like you looked at that forward group in the playoffs and said, that's awesome. That's great what they have. you looked at their top two lines and said, yeah, those are two really good lines. And then you looked at the rest of the lineup and you're like, eh.
I wonder if they need a bunch of like million-dollar guys. Like they need some more VCs and Boyds and stuff again.
Well, so to play devil's advocate to my argument, this is the challenge when you build your team like this is like that might be all you can do is take bets in free agency. Like they have enough space to get a couple or one at least prominent part, but like that's the box you kind of put yourself in unless you also have really good young talent, which they do not.
That's why I think I'd shoot my shot with Schwartz and try and get something done as long as you can get the number to a something that makes sense. Because I really like him as a player. I think he'd complement their top players well. I think you could put him on the third line and then he would make your third line really dynamic. I like that he's a really, really good passer and a really smart playmaker. I like that he works his ass off defensively. You know, I think having a really, really smart playmaking left winger makes a lot of sense when you've got Tavares and Matthews as shooters. And, you know, I wonder if it would even free Marner up from not having to play with Matthews if you had another really good passer on the wing that could play with Matthews. And then that, I think it would just give them probably three dangerous lines if you can add one more dynamic forward. But the tough thing is that if Schwartz is the only guy that fits the bill in free agency and you get priced out on him, then where do you go from there?
Well, you can bet they have like scenarios that they've drawn up. Like I think he would be a really good fit with Tavares and Nylander, but to your point, like you have to find solutions deeper in the lineup. I don't know where you go from there. Like again, maybe you just have to look at the rest of that group. Maybe you have to make a trade. Like maybe you sign a defenseman and you trade Travis Dermott for a forward. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't think you're getting much of a forward for Dermott right now.
No.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, James, where do you want to go from here? What's I'm trying to think of a good saying.
What's crackleading?
So I don't know about that name.
What name?
Seattle Kraken sounds funny.
I would have done something different with the jersey. Like I would have had like a big like squid. I wanted like a when they picked the name, I was like, okay, I can see this. Like have a dark jersey with like a big nasty like Kraken like squid monster thing. Instead, they just did an S with an I in it. It's like meh. Like I think if it was like a big nasty octopus on that jersey, I think I could have got behind it a little bit more.
Agreed, 100% agree. Do you think they're going to be good?
No. No, I do not. They picked a lot of players. They picked a lot of AHL players. Again, with them, though, we need to see what trades they make and what they do in free agency. But I actually don't know that it makes sense to try and be really competitive in your first year coming out of it. Like, if they could have went and picked Tarasenko and JVR and a bunch of these guys, but then you would have just had problem contracts with declining guys in their 30s by like year two or year three. And there were a lot of teams like Philadelphia that were hoping that the Kraken were going to bail them out by taking one of those players. And the fact that the team's hoping that those guys get taken just shows you kind of the value equation that's there. And what they did leave themselves with lots of flexibility. I don't know what they're going to do with that. And they're in a weak division too. I mean, it may well be that they can do something in free agency and make some trades and have a competitive season and then take the next step in years two and three for the franchise.
All right. Well, James, you mentioned the possibility of trades and it looks like we do have one. Your boy, you have a lot of guys throughout the league that I associate with you. Alex Nedeljkovic to Detroit for our old friend, Jonathan Bernier, in a third round pick. So obviously Carolina, as you alluded to at one point, I think on the pod and in our writing, didn't feel comfortable signing Nedeljkovic and he he's gone.
Yeah. Well, so he was a guy that I wanted on our goal.
So wait, wait. So does that mean, oh no, Reimer's a free agent. I was excited. I thought their goaltending tandem was now Reimer and Bernier, but it's not. That would have been fun.
This I wanted Nedeljkovic on our Leafs goalie list because I thought he would potentially be on the move. So I think Nedeljkovic is going to be good. I mean, I'm working on a story with Dom about some of the best young RFAs out there, and he's on my list. So I might have to. Is the contract done with Nedeljkovic, or is he still RFA?
It's not done. It doesn't sound like
the ask.
But we should add, James, like to on that point. We didn't mention it. We mentioned unrestricted free agency. There is restricted free agency as another route that can be pursued, and there are some intriguing options, which you alluded to. There's another
trade coming here.
All right, what do you got?
Coyotes are close to completing a deal for the Flyers' Gostisbehere.
So they're just going to be like a dumping ground, basically.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, James. In light of that, in light of their taking Andrew Ladd, what reason would they hang on to Darcy Kemper?
Well, I mean, they lost Aiden Hill before the expansion draft. The reason...
And Ronta is a free agent.
The reason they would keep Kemper is because they're going to try and be competitive this year, which I know...
But
I know,
clearly they're not, I know.
Well, I mean, why would they add Gostisbehere? Like, I think that they're going to... That's one of those situations where the Coyotes should rebuild and they are not going to, and it's going to be the wrong course of action for them.
Oh, man.
This is the thing. Like, I watch what's happening around the league really, really closely, and I know fans are frustrated with the Leafs, but the Leafs front office is not, it's not a tire fire. It's just not. The question is the Leafs front office just okay? Like, are they good enough to get them to where they need to go? And we'll see. But they're not, like, there's a lot bigger problems around the league in on a lot of franchises than.
Yes. Yes, there are. We should mention it, even though it doesn't feel especially sizzling or sexy. The draft is this weekend, James. The Leafs only have three picks.
This is like the least impactful draft covering the Leafs, I think, ever. Like, I remember when I started covering the Leafs, that going to the draft was like, you know, I didn't get to cover the cup final, and I didn't get to cover playoff games because why would the team I covered be in those games or be? But I did get to go to the draft every year. And I remember it being like such a pivotal part of covering the team every year, you know, when they picked Morgan Riley and they picked Luke Shen and all. I remember being there when they drafted Freddie Gauthier and.
Oh, man. Good times.
When Brad Ross was the first pick they made that one year. And anyway.
Biggs and Percy.
This draft is just like, I mean, I don't want to say who cares, but I mean, you know, it's possible they get something out of that second round pick. But, you know, our colleague Joshua Cloak, who writes about Leafs prospects in the draft a lot, was like, these guys aren't going to be ready for 4 years, you know, if that. So it's hard to get too excited about it when really the story of the organization right now is what's happening in the playoffs this coming season, and 4 years down the road doesn't really seem especially relevant.
Well, and that's why, like, I don't think it's that big a deal that they've it's not that big a deal, but I think it's okay that they've traded their picks. And also the fact that they had like a million picks last year or 2 years ago or whatever it was, like, it's, did they use those picks in the right way? Obviously, in some of these cases, no. But it's not like they haven't had picks. Like, what did they have, like 12 picks 2 years ago or 11 picks?
I think it was last year. Didn't they have, I think last year they had that huge list of players.
Right. And so this year they have three or.
And Dubas kind of said that they were thinking that they wanted to have a lot of selections last year and not necessarily this year when the prospects hadn't played a lot of games. And
makes sense. I mean, James, like, I was just thinking about while you were talking about like other situations front office. This is a top 15 at least front office, right? Like, look around the league. Like,
yeah, and like, that's not to say that we should.
They're not without flaw. Well, or fans, they shouldn't be criticized.
Fans can still expect more.
Sure, they can. I mean, the results are the results. Like, they haven't done enough.
I saw some readers were mad that we gave Dubas a C+ at the end of the season. And, you know, part of my response was, you know, being a C+ GM, you're not going to win the cup. Like you need to be better than that to win a cup or get extremely lucky. So, you know, the Leafs do need more from the front office.
For sure. For sure.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Okay, James, this is your time to shine. But first, I remind everyone to eat at their local restaurants. I'm trying to think of something that I've had recently. I usually just go for burgers.
We had some good Chinese the other night, but unfortunately, I can't.
Oh, very good.
I can't tell you the name of the place because my wife ordered it, and I can't remember what it was, but it was good.
Is it local to your hood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I think it might have been Japanese. It was
well. That's quite a bit different.
Yeah. Well, I just ate it and it tasted great. So you know what I will say on that: try something different. Try something in your neighborhood that's a little bit different, yeah. And you might find something that changes your life.
100%. We have this place. What can I think of? Chubby's, which is around the corner from us downtown, and it is. I had an oxtail stew recently. And that's something obviously I hadn't tried before. And it was really good. So try some stuff to James's point. Podbag, James, take it away.
All right. Jonesy asks, how do the Leafs plan on adding two top six left wingers, another third pairing D-man, a backup goalie with less than $10 million in cap space, especially since they just gave up assets to lose Jared McCann?
Oh, man.
Fans are mad, man.
I can't believe it's like they gave up the seventh round pick is nothing. That's nothing. And they gave up like a prospect who like,
well, I mean, they were going to lose something. Every team lost something in the expansion draft. The Leafs were going to lose a player of, they were going to lose.
It was going to be Kerfoot
or Hall is what, those were their choices. And then they made a choice to make
lose Hollander instead.
Yeah. which makes sense.
Yes, I would think so.
It is a fair question, though, is with the limited cap space they have. So let me ask you this, Jonas. How would you split that up? How would you allocate that? What would you spend on a goalie? What would you spend on forwards? What would you do in terms of adding another defenseman?
For the goalies, I think you can find one of those guys. And I think you can find one of those guys in like the $2 to $4 million range.
Okay,
like,
you're gonna have to narrow down more than that because we only got $10 million to spend.
Okay, so let's say 2.5.
Okay,
and I'm gonna go for, you and I have talked a lot about Halak. Let's just say Halak for that purpose. All right, so there's 2.5. Now, I think you need a third line center. So let's get our guy Nick Bonino, because we seem to like him. I like Paul Stastny in that spot too.
I think Stastny's probably more expensive, I think.
I think so. So how much for Bonino? 2 point something?
2.5, maybe 3.
Okay, so let's say 2.7. So you do the math since you're the whiz. Okay, so how much do I have left?
That's me. Would you say 2.7?
2.7.
So we got 7.5. And then we got, you're down to 4.8.
Okay.
Already. You need someone to play fill Zach Hyman's spot. And you got 4.8 and you got probably two more players to sign. But I think, you know, one of those other forwards you bring in, it could be Nick Robertson. It could be a Bunting that you signed for $1 million.
Bunting's not going to make anything. Yeah. So let's say Bunting for $1 million.
Okay. So you got 3.8 million left to add one more player.
So, I mean, maybe I can even get two. Maybe I can get my buddy Brock McGinn, who I really like. Not going to give you a bunch of offense, but I think you could put him with two skill players and keep the line competent. What do you think about that? How's that? And then let's say I sign another defenseman for $1 million. And I still have some space.
And you still got some space and seems okay. I mean, the only question is, do you feel good enough about what you're... So we got Bonino, but who's he going to get to play with on the third line? Like, is there going to be anyone that he can play with that can produce offense? Or are you going to be limited there?
I think maybe that's your line to counter top lines.
Mm. So you do McGinn, Bonino, and Mikheyev or something?
Something like that makes sense.
Throw Bunting up on one of the top two lines.
Yeah. Or play McGinn up there and move Engvall up. I don't know.
Engvall with Austin Matthews. I love it.
No. Engvall on the third line. I would not play Engvall on the top six. I think this kind of, you and I have talked about this. One of the limitations of signing Spezza and Simmons is like, now you have a fourth line that like can't be used in that way, like has to be protected.
I think you could put Spezza on a third line if that third line is like a sheltered scoring line. But if you do that, then your fourth line has to be really useful as a defensive line. And I don't know that if they have the personnel to do that.
Yeah, but that ignores what they've done with him. Like they've basically said, we're not playing him more than 10, 11 minutes a night. And he's a year older now. Like I'm not going to. I think it would be wrong to assume that suddenly a year later, they're going to increase his role. So it would be really good for them if Robertson at some point during the season was ready. And like, if that's not enough, if the guys that we've
but ready for out here what, that you like, I think fans are getting there. You know, I've seen fans say, put Robertson up with Matthews. And I did like, that's no. Just not realistic. I mean, I think that they should feel really good if Robertson's in the NHL full-time by mid-season, even if he's on the third or the fourth line. I think fans should feel really good about that. I think that's... I mean, he's still very young. He was a second-round pick. I don't like to see the expectations get out of whack for these young guys. I mean, it's just... It'd be impossible for him to live up to that.
Well, I believe he's still 19. Like, he won't turn 20 until September, to your point.
That is incredibly, incredibly young.
And James, if it's not enough, if like what they do in the offseason, like these forwards we're listing or some version of that is not enough, you trade for something. Like you give up another pick and try to get a better version of Nick Foligno, right?
All right. Let me see. James T asks, will Jared McCann join Legends Row? Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you, James T, for some levity. Tim Gulitzen asks, since the Leafs are low on draft picks, what prospects could they trade to help getting a third line center or a left winger? Or is there a capable replacement on the Marlies? There's really not. We've talked about this a couple times. There's really not a lot coming from the Marlies. Like there's just, it's one of the problems. It's one of the issues that was created from their drafts in 14, 15, 16, 17, just being kind of mediocre. Like those are the players that 4 or 5 years later should be surfacing in the organization. Maybe Adam Brooks can play a full-time role. I don't know. I know Sheldon Keefe is really high on Adam Brooks. So potentially he could be a fourth liner, right? He could be the fourth line center. But the good news is, I mean, he's your fourth line center for like nothing. Like, you know, seven, he makes less than the league minimum because of the way his contract averages out. So like if he can be a solid fourth line center, then at least it saves you some money that you can spend on other parts on the roster. What prospects do you think they could trade to get one of these forwards that they need? I mean, Timothy Liljegren, maybe, I guess. Dermott, maybe.
Robertson.
Yeah, do you think they're going to trade Robertson? I mean, I guess you could get something pretty good for him. At least
Amarov.
At least he's got value.
I mean, any of those guys have to be on the table. The problem is, like, I don't can't imagine Liljegren has much value. I would think Amarov has value. Sandin would have value. Robertson would have value. Like, in terms of, like, getting you a significant piece back.
Yeah.
But maybe just trade the first round pick again. Like, I don't know. The first round pick is not helping you anytime soon. So,
oh boy. Well, it'd be better to do that, to get a guy for a full year, or at least someone you can, like, potentially re-sign or whatever, than for what they got from Foligno. Like, you might as well trade your first round pick earlier and get something that you can use for a longer period of time.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, James, like, in light of the way it's looking with the defense kind of staying intact, if we can cross off the trade possibility with Riley. Or we've heard Pierre mention that, like, they're going to start looking at an extension in August. If maybe after, if it doesn't go well, then you look at doing that. But at that point, most teams have kind of figured out their rosters. It's just a weird time to
make a trade like that. That's the thing I don't, like, that timeline doesn't make any sense from the Leafs' perspective.
No, you'd keep them.
Duck Odor, which is a very weird Twitter name. Duck Odor. Where are you from, Duck Odor? Let's see. Toronto. And his bio says, smiling politely. Okay.
Nice.
Duck Odor wants to know, will the Leafs be interested in Michael Bunting? He would vastly improve the team's most important stat, number of players from Scarborough. We've mentioned Bunting a couple of times, but Jonas, we haven't really, like, talked about why we like him. He's a guy, I think he's only, what's he played, 23 NHL games. He's, the thing that's interesting about him is that In the CBA now, there are some players that become UFA at 25 years old, and he is one of them. So he's still very young. He hasn't played a lot in the NHL. He would be a big wild card if you sign him. But, you know, the good thing about wild cards is they can be good or bad, right?
That's why it's called a wild card. But the other thing you should add about him, James, why he feels especially interesting is his connection to the GM and the coach, who he played for in, you guessed it, James, Sault Ste. Marie.
Why don't they just, like, bring the entire Sault Ste. Marie team from previously and just sign all of those players? Do you think that would work?
You're joking, but I do think they have to be. I do think this is what is the word? I don't think it's a blind spot, but I think they have to be aware of not leaning too much on people and players they know.
Alex Nedeljkovic has signed a 2-year contract with Detroit, $3 million a year. So I would have been supportive of that if the Leafs made that trade. Like, they, you know, the Detroit didn't have to give up a lot to get him. I like Nedeljkovic. Nedeljkovic's advanced stats for goaltending are fantastic.
It always felt like too much of a wild card for me. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, we're talking about wild cards here. The Leafs are going to have to make some bets on gambles here. And, you know, at least instead of a Halak, you're betting on a young goalie that has shown some promise. So,
a small young goalie.
Nedeljkovic's career save percentages and career goal save above expected are very, very, very good.
I feel like sometimes you're forgetting sample size.
No.
I'm going to credit you, James, for bringing that to prominence in the NHL.
You're forgetting
that
sample size with Bunting.
I'm not. I'm not saying it's like, I think it's the same kind of conversation, except he's not going to get a big contract. Like, he's going to get, he'll get very little in free agency, I would think, unless there's, like, some team that's.
Well, and he would probably want to come here, right? Like, he's from here.
He's from
and
here.
He knows everybody here. And it's not going to surprise me at all if that gets done. The question is not, can they get him for a cheap contract? It's like, how good is he? Like, is he a fourth line guy? You know, I don't know. A bunch of questions about strengthening the defense. I do think they're going to add a defenseman. Kyle Dubas kind of alluded to looking for a
power
and presence. So,
AKA Zach Bogosian.
I don't know exactly what the situation with Bogosian, but it certainly seems like he's not coming back.
Yeah.
A lot of the questions we got are people angry at Kyle Dubas today. They said in the press conference, can you ask him if he will step down? We did not ask that. And I don't think that would have went over very well.
Just look around at some of the other front offices and some of the stuff that they've done. Just have a look. I think like it's like you got to be really. This is the tough thing with sports, James. Like, so Milwaukee wins the NBA championship. Milwaukee is like a hair, a Kevin Durant foot on the line from being eliminated in the second round. They are not. They end up winning that series against a team that would have beat them if they were healthy. They play the Suns in the final, who are just like, eh. Like,
I don't even know any players on the Suns. Like,
okay, you should know. You know Chris Paul.
I was like, I was like Googling who's on the. I was watching that and like, I don't really know this roster very well. I was glad to see Milwaukee win after that. Like that series they had with the Raptors a couple of years ago was fantastic, and that's where I gained my appreciation for Giannis.
That was going to be like part of the epitaph for them losing again in the second round is like, well, this team can never get it done. And they were going to fire the coach. Instead, they win. They beat an okay Phoenix Suns team. And now it's like they did everything right. And like, they're great. And like, this is where we have to be careful in our jobs is like not.
Well, and that's what the front office believes. Overreacting. That's what the Leafs front office believes is that they were so close and that it would be really foolish to just say, oh, it didn't work and like change everything. And like, they feel like the team got a lot better last year from where it was. They feel good about a lot of what they did. They're going to try and improve further as much as they possibly can. But generally speaking, they're trying not to panic in a market that is ready to panic. And I think some of that's like the baggage that you inherit when you run the Leafs, because the Leafs have been bad for so long. They haven't won a round in 17 years. Like if there would have been more success previously, I think the pressure would have been a little bit less. Here's a relevant question from Chris Hurley. He says, when will Leafs fans learn that changing the GM every 3 or 4 years is a horrible idea and gets you nowhere? I mean, I think part of the problem with Joshua Cloak wrote for us looking back at their drafts over the last 7 years. Part of the problem is they kept changing what their process was and who was in charge and what the philosophy was. And it's hard to win that way. Like you want to get to the point where you have good people like in Tampa, you trust them, you leave them in charge, you let them do what they want to do. Your team gets better over time. And that's where you want to get to.
Well, and James, it wasn't that long ago, and this is not a good comparison, but like that Colorado's front office was thought to be like a laughingstock. Like they had one of the worst teams in like
they were a mess.
NHL
That's
history.
When they were trying to hire like, Kyle Dubas. I mean, they almost did. Dubas was ready to go, and
that's like a few years ago. It's not even that long ago.
2018 was it was the year before Kyle Dubas became GM. So the year
17, yeah, 18 was, then.
I think it would have been 2017 in that offseason.
It would have been the year before, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was 16, 17.
16, 17.
Yeah, but it was it was like at the end of that season that Colorado tried to get him. And Shanahan said no. And the reason he said no, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure he said to Kyle, you're going to be the next GM. And it's going to happen relatively quickly and you're not going anywhere. I'm pretty sure that's the promise that was made. And then they let Lou go the next year and Dubas became the GM. And the reason that Shanahan did that is that he had been sitting in the room for all of these drafts and all of these conversations and all of these moves. And he had been listening to what Kyle's arguments were and the course of action he wanted to pursue and the course of action the other people in the front office wanted to pursue. And he believed that the Dubas had was on the right side of more of those debates and arguments than the other candidates in that front office.
All right. I think we're going to leave it there. It's been a spicy edition of the podcast. We thank everyone for listening as always. I know it's for Leaf fans, it's like the best time. Like it's an anxious, frustrating time, and that's understandable given the last little while. But there's going to be lots to chew on. It's going to be an interesting couple weeks. If you haven't signed up for The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/Leaf Report. We're going to be so busy with all kinds of content in the next couple weeks. James, any parting words?
No, I mean, there's going to be a lot of fireworks, and I believe we're going to have Ray Ferraro on next week to help us break down. I think we should do a long edition of the podcast before we have a summer break with Ray Ferraro. So look forward to that. I think it's going to be fantastic.
All right. And if you want to hear a little bit more about expansion and free agency, check out Scotty Burnside and Pierre LeBrun on the Two-Man Advantage on the Athletic Hockey Show. James, I bid you adieu. Goodbye.